So how's it going? Awesome. And you look fabulous. I know, I'm suffering superlative deficit. Sometimes here in New England, we can run the whole gamut from awesome to wicked pissa with nothing in between. Do you feel the same way sometimes that you're stuck on a couple of words, unable to move beyond them? Well, then we have the book for you. Author Arthur Plotnick has come up with a multitude of magnificent modifiers in his book. It's called Better Than Great, a plentitudinous compendium of wallopingly fresh superlatives. And Arthur Plotnick joins us from WMFT in Chicago. Arthur, how's it going?
Wallopingly well, I think.
Wallopingly well, one of your superlatives in your book. Why superlatives? Why'd you take this on?
Probably to break away from my own habit of using the same five or six tired, worn out, dried up words to respond to everything I admire, all the things that stimulate and excite us. And I felt that many people wanted to do the same, but needed some help with alternative vocabulary, perhaps, and some prompts, some incentive to go beyond superlatives. You know, superlatives confer extreme value on something. We need them to celebrate the worthiest things in our lives. And when we use the same superlatives, the awesome's amazing, unbelievable, and incredible, we're not celebrating anything. These are dead words, bleached. Linguists call them because they're bleached into white noise.
Bleached. Interesting. Yeah. And, you know, as I was reading, I was thinking that young people, in fact, seem to do the best at coming up with words. Mad for a lot, or, you know, that's crazy, that's mad crazy, or ill, or sick for something that's great. They seem to be the ones fighting the bleached words the most. But you start with the one that seems to be the bleachest of all, amazing. You call it the it word, the utterance of the millennium's first decade. Why do you hate that word so much?
Well, amazing is a good, venerable word. It originally had to do with mazes. To be amazed was to be chased maybe by a minotaur through a labyrinth, that degree of amazement. But now it's just become so overused, so viral. You attach it to the most mundane things, amazing fertilizer, amazing toilet cleanser. You don't even know where the word's been last. So, plus the way it's drawled for emphasis, because the word has no force on its own. It was amazing.
Well, what would you say instead? Let's start right off.
I might say it was arresting or incantatory, if I'm speaking of something enchanting, stately, transfixing, inspiring, or stellar, stunning. So much depends on the context and the audience, of course.
Here's some other ones that you use. Knee-bucklingly sweet, blissfully deranged, captivatingly strange, devastatingly reasonable. I sometimes throw the word fierce out, but I wish I thought of searingly.
Yeah, well, you can rehearse a dozen words or so. Choose them from the book. There's 5,700 of them. Practice them, making them part of your normal vocabulary. It's very hard in conversation because we only have a split second to think of a different word. But in writing, in emails, blogs, even texts and tweets, if you can fit it in.
Let's go to different categories because you have 15 in the book, categories of acclaim, and you have some of these substitutions instead of the standard word. So let's just pick, beautiful or gorgeous, you know, and gorgeous is another word, you know, gore, you know, that's drawn out just to try to give it more meaning. What would you use instead?
Well, I might use an intensifier, and not really. Really gorgeous isn't going to intensify anything. Armor-piercingly gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Coruscatingly beautiful, you know, flashing light beautiful. Ensorceling is a nice word.
And what is that? Ensorceling?
Ensorceling, like a sorceress has put a spell on you with her beauty. Moony making. That's what I write to my wife in my anniversary cards. You are moony making. I'm mistingly beautiful.
Lucky her. But on the other hand, you know, do you risk not communicating with someone if they're standing there with a puzzled look saying, is that good or bad, what he just said?
Absolutely you risk. Because expressiveness is always risky. You can be safe and dull and boring, or you can take the risk. The trouble is today, colorful expressive language has become somewhat suspect, almost subversive. Mm. You know, you're a weirdo or maybe even a terrorist. You know, if I told a stewardess she was omnicompetent or polyphiloprogenitive, which means multi-talented, I'd probably be handcuffed and held overnight in the airport.
You might
run off the plane for sure. Take the risk because the reward is being heard for a change. You get some attention, and that's the beginning of sharing your enthusiasms and persuading and revealing your passions about something.
Well, some of our listeners are agreeing with you on Facebook. Marla Baxter Sanderson says, too, that she just that make her cringe, awesome and stellar. Eski Stewart writes, I hate unique, especially when there's a qualifier because unique either is or it isn't. Margie Hunter writes super, you know, something super makes her skin crawl, but she also has a personal moratorium on awesome. What are some of the things that just make your skin crawl?
Unbelievable. Every athlete asked about how this great performance felt, how winning the World Cup felt. It's always unbelievable or incredible, which doesn't convey anything, but we apply these words to the most common things, like an unbelievable pizza.
Where's the blame for this? As you said, we just have lost this sense of words. Is it editors? You know, you're a longtime editor. Is it just the, as I said, I think young people are actually coming up with really kind of cool words. So what is it?
The vogue words. But, you know, we all, it's ordinary to for people to drift to kind of a survival language with a few vogue words thrown in to sound fashionable. Because expressiveness takes some effort, and so you need incentives and motivation. And these incentives used to be love and competition, commerce, a rise in status, especially for immigrants. The better you spoke, the more important it was for your status or general admiration. But we don't seem to have those incentives anymore as far as language goes, so we don't have the models, we don't have the orators to imitate, because we learn by imitation. It's called echolalia, as a child learns to speak by imitating, but actually echolalia is a pathology among adults. It means helplessly repeating words. So maybe there's kind of a national echolalia. We say awesome and amazing, and it's in every sitcom, every cartoon. It's fed back to us. Our kids say it. We imitate our kids. So we're in a cycle, and I'm here to break it.
Arthur, speaking with you has been mind-mashing or mind-pummeling. In other words, it's gotten us thinking.
Well, so let me wish your listeners a scintillant, starlit evening with ensorcelling company, grubalicious chow, and a nectarious refreshment.
Well, and I'll just say to you, thanks very much. As to your presentation here, you blazed. Arthur Plotnick's book is Better Than Great, a plentitudinous compendium of wallopingly fresh superlatives. Arthur, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're so unbelievable.